My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Fan Hotline is presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. We go to that Sullivan Super Service Fan Hotline and joined by Chris Peek of Pantelair at pittsburgh.rival.com. And Chris, there's been so much talk about the Pirates. It was good for a long period of time. It has turned. And the Steelers. But what are some early impressions you have of Pitt football training camp?
Boy, there's a lot, Jeff. It's a lot. And I mean, like, you know as well as I do, we don't get to see a ton as media. But there's a lot going on with this team right now. There's a lot of interesting storylines that I think if Pitt wasn't coming off a 3-9 season last year, and if they sort of were a little bit more prominent in the city, I think a lot of people locally would be pretty interested. I mean, you have a complete 180 on the offensive scheme and the offensive philosophy of what Pat Narduzzi has done in hiring Cade Bell, the offensive coordinator from Western Carolina. I mean, it is unlike any offense we've ever seen Narduzzi even attempt to run in 10 years at Pitt. It's just going to be completely different. And that's not to say it's going to work. That's one of the big questions and storylines, but it's a complete change and it's a drastic change. I mean, this isn't firing Matt Canada and hiring Arthur Smith, you know, like that's sort of a vanilla kind of move. And if anything, you know, getting a little bit more in line, maybe with what Mike Tomlin thinks or believes, this is going something completely opposite of what Pat Narduzzi as a defensive coordinator, you know, believes in. I mean, he's a guy who believes in time of possession and controlling the clock and running the ball. And Cade Bell is all about tempo. They're going to snap the ball fast. They want to snap it every 12 to 15 seconds. They want to go quick, play fast, score faster is his mantra. And it's the antithesis of what we've seen Narduzzi try to do, especially the last 2 years. And so it's really interesting to see how this is all going to play out. And I mean, we could get into the weeds on that position battle. Oh, they got 9 new starters on defense and there's a quarterback situation and this and that. But the reality is you have a guy who's in his 10th year as head coach going completely opposite to anything he's ever done before in terms of offensive philosophy. And I think it's just going to be fascinating to see what happens. Now, chances are it kind of operates in fits and starts, and there's times where it works and there's times where it doesn't. And we come out of it saying, I don't really know if that was a good idea or not. But it's fascinating to me to see Narduzzi make a move like this. And now we're getting close, you know, just a day or two over 2 weeks away from actually seeing it in action.
So we heard, and I guess Pat said this morning that Nate Yurnell is the starter, but Eli, I guess, is making it a little bit more interesting. Does what happened with Phil Jurkovec's struggles, does that change a mindset or the impact of when they could make a change? And do you think Nate makes it through camp as the starting quarterback?
So the first part there is really interesting to me, and I don't think it's anything Pat Narduzzi would really answer honestly. The biggest question that I would love to get an honest answer from Pat Narduzzi about is whether the experience last year changed how he himself will approach personnel decisions on offense. His thing has always been to be hands-off on offense. He lets the offensive coordinator decide the quarterback and the offensive coaches make the personnel decisions. He might have input, but he's not going to force anybody's hand. Well, after five games last season, he forced somebody's hand. And I think he did it again five games later when he forced him again, first to go from Phil Dracovic to Christian Baier and then to go from Christian Baier to Nate Yarnell. He has always been hands-off on it. And, for better or for worse, I think he really prides himself on giving his coordinators autonomy. He felt like he had that autonomy from Mark D'Antonio at Michigan State, and he prides himself on giving his coordinators that autonomy as well. But you're the head coach, and he can stand up there and say, I don't know anything about the offense. Well, yeah, that's fine. Okay, you're a defensive guy, but Jeff, you and I could see that Phil Dracovic was playing really poorly in the first five games. Pat Narduzzi has watched enough football. He's forgotten enough football to know that wasn't an acceptable level of play. And by halftime of the West Virginia game, it was clear to anyone who was watching. I wish, and I don't think he'll ever answer it honestly, but I wish Narduzzi would give some indication into whether his mindset this year is different, that if he sees a problem, he will speak on it and force a change if he feels like he needs to. That to me is the biggest question. It's partially about how long of a leash does the starter actually have. But to me, it's more about how long of a leash does the starter have with Narduzzi. Cade Bell, I don't know how he approaches his quarterbacks. Frank Cignetti was all in on Phil Dracovic, and he might have started that kid 12 games last year if Narduzzi didn't step in. I really think that's possible. It's more about will Narduzzi step in. As to these two guys, Nate Yarnell and Eli Holstein, it's gotten really interesting. Like you said, today Pat said, Nate's our starter. But there was sort of an implied, right now. He didn't necessarily say he's our starter for the Kent State game. I think they have a scrimmage on Sunday. And if I had to bet, I would bet that scrimmage is going to go a long way in determining who gets the call. Because next week they'll practice, I think, maybe 3 days. I think they have a scrimmage on Sunday. I think they're off Monday. They practice Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And then they have like a walkthrough and then their kickoff luncheon. And then they're into game prep week for the Kent State game. Really, you're probably not going to win or lose the job during those three practices next week. You're going to win or lose it during this scrimmage. And how those guys respond to that pressure will be interesting, because Narduzzi said at the scrimmage on Saturday they were pressing a little bit, maybe trying to make too big of a play instead of taking what the defense gives them. So how do they approach it this week? They're going to take what the defense gives them, but they also have to make their case for why they should be the starter. I think it's very much an open competition. And I don't know who the favorite is right now. I think it'll be whoever plays better in this scrimmage on Saturday.
Chris Peake from Panther Lair. Yeah, I'll see you over at the scrimmage.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And you could see Chris's work at pittsburgh.rivals.com. And Chris, so we saw Georgia Tech for years where they kind of went to this option approach, probably as much from the mindset of like, hey, we're not going to get those type of athletes. Let's do something different. If Pitt tries to out pro style, especially in the NIL era, and you're going up against the big time schools for athletes, you're probably not going to win a lot of those battles. Does what they're doing make sense from a recruiting standpoint of like, hey, we can get some of these speedy guys that are probably under recruited, put them in a system, and that can help sustain us just because we don't have maybe some of the funds, to put it bluntly, or some of the resources that other schools have?
It's funny that you mentioned Georgia Tech. Did you see the news this week? They landed a five-star offensive tackle
recruit.
Yes. $800,000, five-star kid, reportedly an $800,000 NIL wow. deal. Like, that's insane. Wow. Like, guaranteeing him that money, $800,000 a year. It's insane. I we could probably spend a whole hour talking about that, so I won't get too sidetracked there. To your question, I mean, I think this season will be an interesting test case for that, because they're going to be going out there, a test case for the theory or the idea that if you have a good scheme that can get guys open, you can kind of scheme your way out of talent disadvantages. You know what I mean? Talent mismatches where the other team might be more talented, but if your scheme is good and it gets guys open and puts them in position to make plays, you can still make it happen. So this year will be an interesting test case for that, because they're going to have Sensor Lee. They're going to have Raphael Poppy Williams. They're going to have Desmond Reed, three guys who came from Western Carolina, three undersized but fast guys who were FCS players, they're going to, you know, who have excelled in this offensive scheme. And now you'll put them in that scheme playing against ACC competition, and you'll see if it works. Now, I don't think you render a full judgment on this offensive system after 1 year, but as a test case of like, hey, you know, can this work? Can this be a way? Because that was, I mean, you go back years. I mean, you mentioned Georgia Tech. You go back to like what Rich Rodriguez was doing, what a lot of, you know, the onset of the spread offense, a lot of it was to offset some of the talent disadvantages or mismatches where, you know, we're not going to get the linemen that Alabama gets, you know what I mean? Or, you know, this small school is not going to get, but we can get like the fast receivers who can fit into this scheme and we can run it and we can go fast and we can scheme them open. I mean, the air raid offense, I mean, all of these different offensive innovations we've seen over the last 20 years, 30 years, 40 years in college football, I feel like 75%, maybe more of them have been aimed at offsetting a talent mismatch. You know, like we're not going to get that level of talent. What can we do with the scheme to get our guys open and give them a chance to make plays? And then can we find the right guys, the guys who are getting overlooked? Who, he's an inch too short, but he's crazy fast. So we'll get him the ball in space and we'll let him go out and make plays. That's what they're going to try and do this year. And so I think this will be a great test case for it.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
How are recruits or local, even local coaches reacting to this move? Is it a very much, hey, let's see how this works? Are they buying into a whole new look Pitt offense? What's been that reaction?
I think some of the new coaches, I mean, on the recruiting front, I think they've done a good job with their energy. This is a younger coaching staff than what Pitt had last year. It's a more energetic coaching staff. You know, we talked to Jacob Bernowski, the tight ends coach and special teams coordinator today. He might be in his 20s. I'm not sure. He's just really young, but he's got so much energy. Cade Bell has so much energy. Tim Dallas, the offensive line coach they brought in, has so much energy. Lindsay Lamar, the running backs coach, isn't that much older than the guys in his room. You know, J.J. Lasser, the receivers coach, kind of the same thing. There's a lot of energy, and I think the players are responding well to it. And I think the recruits are too. You know, with the offense itself, it's all wait and see, because it's like, well, yeah, you got all these good ideas. Your offense looks good on the board. Let's see if it can actually play. Let's see if it can actually work. But I think they're responding to the energy. And, you know, locally, I think there's some of that as well. I think there's been some good reactions. But when you look at the commitments they've gotten, a lot of the kids have just talked about how they've been able to relate to these coaches, connect with these coaches, and ultimately just sort of respond to that energy that they bring. And you see it in practice, you know. And sometimes it can be as simple as, you replace a few coaches, you get some new voices in there that can bring an extra pep to everybody's step. And sometimes it really is because, look, man, I mean, Dave Borbély was a pretty old guy. Andre Powell was getting up in years. Tim Salem was in his 60s somehow, although nobody would accuse him of being short of energy. although that was, you know, artificially infused energy from
do the do. You know,
His performance enhancing what have you was Mountain Dew, but those guys were older. These guys are younger, and I hate to overly simplify it, but I mean, they brought a lot of energy to the program, and I think it's wearing off on the recruits. you go 3-9 or 5-7, nobody cares how energetic you are. You got to back it up with the wins. But during this period before the games are actually played, I think they're getting a good response.
Charlie Partridge obviously is a big loss defensively. Assistant head coach, obviously, you know, done a great job recruiting. I know they've replaced with a guy who's energetic, and that group seems to be buying in. What do you think the impact of Charlie not being there, and maybe what does a coaching add to the defensive side impacted this group?
It'll be interesting. I mean, I don't know what to make of this defensive line. I mean, they're basically replacing everybody. The only guy you would even call a returning starter is Nate Temple, who started, I think, most of the games last year at defensive end. But he had an injury in the spring that was initially sold to us as a season-ending injury. But I don't think that's quite the case. I think he's going to be back. But, I mean, so you might get a half season or something out of him. So that's the only thing even close to a returning starter they have. I think at defensive end, they're probably going to be starting, like, their four-man rotation at defensive end will probably be two transfers, a redshirt freshman and a true freshman, or a redshirt sophomore and a true freshman. You know, their rotation at defensive tackle is going to be all new guys as well, transfers and young guys and redshirt freshmen and stuff like that. And so Tim Doust has his work cut out for him. I mean, he's got a whole new group to mold, and that's not the worst thing. They weren't exactly the most impactful unit last year, the defensive line. And I think it's kind of interesting to look at defensive end recruiting in particular over the last few years. It's taken a little bit of a dip. This most recent class, these guys who are freshmen right now, they look really good. But the recruiting for the past 4 or 5 years prior to that kind of took a bit of a dip at defensive end. And so I'm not going to say that Tim Doust came into an empty cupboard, but he's had to restock quite a bit. That's why they're going to start at least one transfer and have another one in the rotation. So he's got his work cut out for him building that group. I think the tackles will be good. Here's an interesting factoid, Jeff. The defensive tackles at Pitt, there are more former four-star prospects in the defensive tackle room than any other position on the team, which I think is really interesting.
Wow.
They have eight scholarship defensive tackles. Six of them are former four-star guys. Now, maybe that reflects on the ranking system because a bunch of these guys haven't done anything yet, but at some point the pedigree was there. So I think some of that talent's going to shine through. I think the tackles will be okay. But I think defensive end is going to be a question mark for this team all season, and that's not good. They need to be able to get penetration and get into the backfield. So that's going to be a big position to watch. I feel pretty good about the rest of the defense, but those two end spots, I'm not sure what's going to happen there.
Have you, or how tempted have you been to say, hey, Pat, Deion Sanders said?
I mean, no, because Narduzzi started it. You know, like Pat took a not so thinly veiled shot at Deion Hayes, and that was why Deion Sanders said what he said. Was that this week that he said it?
Yeah.
My weeks are running together, but I mean, that's why he said it. And I think there was even he kind of like implied like that Deion asked him to say something.
Like he did.
Deion Sanders was standing up for his kids. You know,
my dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.